Ladies, thank you so much. Let me have you take your Bible and go to Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, chapter number 1. Well, I just have enjoyed being in church this morning. I've just enjoyed being in church this morning. I like coming early, turning the lights on, getting it as cold in here as I possibly can. Just some of you ladies, like my daughter Tabitha, we went out to eat the other night, and it's 90 out. It's 90 or close to it, and she goes running out to the car, and she's got a jacket. I said, she started out the door with a jacket. I said, what are you doing? It's 90 degrees. She said, yeah, but the restaurant's not going to be 90 degrees. And some of you ladies that are figured out Blessed Hope Baptist Church know you better bring a winter coat or a parka or a snowsuit or build a small fire in your pew or something there. But this new building is exciting that we're building because we're going to talk with Carlos Watson, and we're going to put in a heating and cooling system where it's pretty high tech. It's going to be perfect for everyone. Yeah, perfect for everyone. I'm very excited about that, and we'll see how that works. And we may come back in and do the same thing here then. So that very excited about what the Lord's doing here. So that kind of technology is available is great. So. Ladies, you can look forward to that. Proverbs chapter 1, let's all stand for the reading of God's Word. Okay. Let's just begin in verse number 1, and then we will read down through the first 8 verses of the first chapter of the book of Proverbs. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity, Lord, just to meet here today. And Lord, you've been so good to us. Lord, we're just humbled when we stop even over the course of 1 week's time and review and think about how wonderful you've been. You've provided our needs as you've promised you would. You've given us our daily bread. You've given us strength day by day to live and to do and to accomplish what we need to. Lord, you've given us grace sometimes even to endure maybe hardships. But Lord, at the end of the week, all we can do is look up to heaven and clap our hands and say, thank you, God. And Lord, thank you for the privilege of allowing us to call you Father, to call you Father. And Lord, no matter what happens in the cycle of life down here, no one can say who's saved that they do not have a Father. Thank you, Lord, for being, Lord, that perfect Father, that heavenly Father, that gracious Father who loves and cares for his children. And Lord, we ask, please, that you would anoint, Lord, this entire service. Lord, that you control it. And Lord, please fill me now as I preach. Lord, build a hedge around the church. Lord, keep distractions. Satan always wants to get in and get our minds going this way or that way. But I pray, Lord, that you'd help us all to focus in and not miss what you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. I've been curious, and I'm going to find out in just a second, if you don't mind sharing this information with me. But I want to preach on this subject, what your dad really wants for Father's Day. What your dad really wants for Father's Day. Some of you out there going, praise the Lord. I've been racking my brain for 3 weeks trying to think, what in the world do I get my dad? How many of you think that your dad is probably the hardest person in your life to buy a present for? Would you raise your hand? All right, now I want to find out about this because a lot of you didn't, but we're going to find out something, okay? I went and tried to come up with some clever ideas, neat ideas, first-time ideas, but he's just lived too long, and just ran out of all the firsts that I could think of, all the new stuff I could think of. And so finally I told, and have you opened your card yet? I'm going to ruin it for you right now, all right? But I went to the, I finally told my wife, if all else fails, the Sears tool department, let's go there. And I went to buy a gift certificate or a gift card, okay? Because I don't know what he wants, but he will probably be able to go in there and find something that he wants. So we go to Sears and we go to the first cashier, and all of they have is cards left. All of the gift cards have flowers on them, or daisies, or that lace, or you know, pink, and all of this. So I'm like, what is this? So I go over to the next one. Let's go to the one over in the tool department. Same thing. We wandered all over that store. And I said, they have to have guy-type gift cards. I mean, something you would give a guy, surely. They're not going to lace and flowers and pinky and frillies and, you know, little you know, birds flying through the air and all this stuff, you know. And I mean, they ought to have one that's got like a dead deer hanging by its back legs or, you know, a big four-wheel drive truck with mud all over it or... I mean, something like, you know, oh, you know, that you can buy and feel like you can give to your father, you know, and nothing, just frilly, pinky, icky, you know, lacy, and all of this stuff. So I finally said, well, you know, you guys got to help me here. So we kind of got one that's not really super masculine, but it's not super sissy either. But the money's on there, all right? All right, now some of you say, well, Brother Jerry, if I tell you, I'll ruin my surprise. That'll ruin my surprise, but how many of you broke down and got a gift card or a gift certificate for your Father's Day gift? Raise your hand. That's it? Is it just the Rosses then? It's just us. I mean, we're not trying hard enough. And I think there's people in here that's lions, what I think. They're like, you ruined your Father's Day, but I'm not going to ruin mine. What do you get, Dad? I know, let's get him another tie. Hey, man, you know what? People joke about that, but that's one of the most exciting gifts I ever get. I love to get a new tie, you know. I get tired of wearing the same three that I have, you know. Now, do you have more than three ties? Yes, I do. I've got about 40 hanging in my closet. But if you go back, most of them are from the 70s. And I'm just holding out hope they're going to come back, brother. Remember those ones we had that was about this wide at the bottom, you know? They were so wide you didn't even have to wear a shirt. You could be modest just wearing a tie. They were huge, you know. And then the rest of them that's kind of stylish that I think I could get by with, every time I pick one up, I'm like, nope, gravy. And... you know, or something, you know, when you're at a restaurant and you go to reach like that and just right through the gravy or right through something. So a tie is good for me. I'd like to have a tie. But it's hard sometimes to know what your dad really wants for Father's Day. Let me give you kids a clue and us older ones that, you know, sit there and just agonize over this. You know what? Can I just say, can I represent all dads by saying, you know what? It really don't matter. Is that the truth? You know what? It really doesn't matter. A hug is a wonderful gift. A homemade card is a wonderful gift. You know, something simple, a Harley Davidson is a wonderful gift. Not to go to any big expense. You know, just something simple, something easy to pick up for Dad. Amen. No, I'm kidding about that. Kiss on the cheek is a wonderful gift. And I love you is a wonderful gift. Getting to spend a couple hours with the kids is a wonderful gift. That's the honest truth. You know, you just get the point in life where someone comes to, I mean, honestly, people, you know, besides the Harley thing, people come to me and say, you know, what do you want? You know what? I don't have a want. I don't have a want. You got to give us something. You know what? It's wonderful to reach a point in time in your life where all the things of this world. I mean, you know, everybody always has a few things, but I mean, you know, what can the world make new, or what can it produce that? You know what? People's important. Relationships are important. Family's important. That's what you want for Father's Day. A phone call is important. A visit's important. A hug's important. I mean, just to hear somebody's voice
is important. Isn't that the truth? What do they really want for Father's Day? Well, I'm going to give you a short list here, young people. And I want all you children to... I think Dr. Jorgensen, God's hands was in this. Dr. Jorgensen came and spoke towards the idea of fathers this morning. But he spoke more to us as fathers and gave us some good advice and godly advice concerning maybe how we can be better towards our children. I'm going to speak more to the young people and to us that are still children and still have our dads here. And what does Dad want for Father's Day? Well, I'll tell you what he wants. Let me give you something. In Proverbs chapter number 1 and verse number 8, it says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father." You know what? Let me give you a list here. Number one, the first thing I think your dad would love to have for Father's Day and really for every other day is listening ears. Listening ears. You know, me and Mom's talked about this, and you have no idea how many times I wish that I had spent more time listening to Grandpa Ogle when he was here on this earth. I wish I would. It's one of those, if you could just say you get one of those magic, supernatural, divine, miracle gifts, what would you want in life? I'd love to have 4 hours with my Grandpa Ogle. Now, I was very young when my Grandpa Ross passed away. I don't even know if I ever carried on any conversation with him. Most of the time when I walked through, he tried to swap me with his cane, and I was just trying to get through alive, you know. And 4 hours. 4 hours. You think of all the hours we have and all the time something's been tried to be communicated to us, but we were maybe too young or too foolish to really focus in and listen. Are you thinking with me? You know, young people, one of the greatest gifts you can give to your father to give to daddy is listening ears. The Bible says that God gave you your father to instruct you. Proverbs 1:8, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother." Proverbs 4:1, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding." Young men, look at me. It's a temptation, and boy, we're succumbing to it. Young ladies, listen to me. I know what the Hollywood crowd says and the rock and roll lyrics suggest, but I'm going to tell you that they're liars. You never achieve maturity by rebelling against authority. You achieve maturity when you're wise enough to sit down and, for the first time, listen to authority. Because all they want to do is pass on some information, you see. And your dad just wants you to listen to him. Listen, when he's talking to you, listen, stop calling those talks lectures. He's not lecturing you. He's trying to instruct you. He's trying to teach you something. See, he knows something. He knows he's not always going to be here. And he knows there's a lot of decisions that's ahead for you. And he knows how hard life can be and how difficult things can be. And he's trying to give you something while he's here. Listen to him. Listen to him. Give your daddy a listening ear. There's a little boy that went to bed and he stalled and stalled and stalled. But finally, dad had to get firm with him and said, "Now you go to bed and you lay down and you be quiet." So he went in there 5 minutes and this little voice came from the room, "Daddy! Bring me a drink of water. Can I have a drink of water?" "No, you stalled. You had your chance. You lay in there and be quiet." 5 more minutes. "Daddy, can I have a drink of water?" "No, absolutely not. And if you ask me again, you're going to get a spanking." 5 minutes went by. "Daddy, when you come in to spank me, will you bring me a drink of water?" Well, at least he was listening. He heard what his dad said. Amen. Amen. I like this. I read this week. This is a great story. And I wish I'd have thought of this. But there was a 16-year-old boy that finally got the age where he got his driver's license. And his dad took him and waited while he went and took the driving test. And sure enough, here comes Junior out and he's holding up the license. "I did it." Remember that day, guys? "I did it! Dad, I did it!" And the father walked over to the driver's door and opened it up and said, "Go on in, son." "Oh, yeah." He went and got in the driver's seat, shut the door, and the dad didn't go around the passenger side. Instead, he got in the back seat behind his son. He said, "Dad, what are you doing?" You want me to chauffeur you home? He said, no, I've been waiting 16 years to sit behind you when you're driving and kick the back of the seat. All the way home, buddy, he's just giving it. Sometimes your father teaches you something with words. Sometimes he teaches you something with actions, amen. But it is God's responsibility that he's given a father to instruct you. Now, what the world wants to tell you young people is that the old man doesn't know anything. And you know what? Dad doesn't understand me, and all of his philosophies and beliefs are outdated, and he's just out of the loop. Well, let me remind you of something. You've never been where he is, but he's been where you are now. And he wants to help you. He loves you. He's wanting to teach you something. You know how to have a glad dad? Let me tell you how to have a glad dad, young people. Listen to the wisdom as he gives you wisdom and implement that wisdom into your life. Proverbs 10:1, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Proverbs 29:3, whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father, but he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. Proverbs 28:7, whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of righteous men shameth his father. Now, young men, young ladies, listen to me. Listen to me. Who are you running with? What crowd are you running with? Are your friends the kind of friends that your mom and your dad are happy that you're with and happy that you have? Listen to me. If they're trying to point you in a good direction, a right direction, you ought to listen to them. You ought to listen to them, you see. You want to give your daddy a gift? Give him listening ears. Listening ears. Number two, here's the second thing you can put on the list that I think your dad would want. Number two, he not only would like to have listening ears, he'd like to have a loyal heart. A loyal heart. Proverbs 23:26. Let me just have you flip over there since we're in this book. Proverbs 23 and verse number 26. This is a wonderful verse. If you haven't underlined it in your Bible, you ought to. If you haven't memorized this verse, maybe that would be a good thing to do. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse number 26. And the verse says, my son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. A loyal heart. My son, give me thine heart. Let me tell you who wants your heart, young people. The rock and roll crowd wants your heart. The Hollywood crowd wants your heart. The crowd that tries to turn you against your parents wants your heart. You see, the world wants your heart, but you ought to give your heart to a godly mother and a godly father because they love you and they've proved that over and over and over again. Are you listening to me? Brother Jorgensen, Dr. Jorgensen talked about honoring your parents and what that's all about. You know, when God set down those 10 commandments. And by the way, in our Sunday school, we just kicked off today. The next series of Sunday school lessons that the whole church is teaching is the 10 commandments. And you know what? When God called Moses up on Mount Sinai with all the thunder and clouds and lightning and mighty noise and a great display of divine power on that mountain and brought him up there and handed him those tablets of stone, on those tablets of stone, written with the very finger of God, were these words: honor thy father and thy mother. Honor thy father and thy mother. You see, a loyal heart blesses his father. A loyal heart honors his father. A loyal heart stands by his father. Proverbs chapter 20, you know, let me just read a couple verses to you because, boy, these are good. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 20. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 20. Are you loyal to dad? Are you loyal to your father? Are you thinking about this? Have you given your heart away to the world? Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 20. Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. Yes, that's true. That's true. Well, we live in a wicked age. I can hardly stand to read the paper. What's happened to our natural affection? What's happened to our natural affection? I mean, family used to love family. Family used to be loyal to family. Wives used to be loyal to their husbands. Husbands used to be loyal to their wives. Now, I know we've always had nonsense, but nothing like we see in this generation. Parents loyal to their children. I mean, have you read the Terre Haute paper this week? I mean, I don't even really want to talk about what's gone on this week. I don't want to say it in front of the children. But we get down to a point where a man can attempt to murder his own children. Take them at knife point. Run off with them and with a knife try to kill his own children. What is wrong, folks? Don't tell me Satan's not in the middle of all this. Well, the devil's got a foothold in the family. But children, let me say this. You know what? There was a time in this country where children were loyal to mom and dad too. I remember the time I spent, Dr. Jorgensen, I'm on those bus routes in Chicago, and the one thing, with all their faults and all their shortcomings and all the mess of the inner city, the one thing that would start a fight faster than anything else on the bus was this. I remember one time, there's two boys, and this one boy is on top of another boy, and he's just pounding him, and the kids are yelling, fight, and of course, I run back to watch. And get back there and grab this kid and pull him off, and he's just going, he just lost it. And I said, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? Hey, get hold of yourself. What's wrong with you? And I said, why are you beating him up? He said, he said something about my mama. And I said, did you say something about his mama? I said, get him. I put him back on him for a few minutes. Amen. I took him off, but I put him back on there for a few minutes. What happened to that? Are you listening to me? How come some inner city ghetto kid gets that, but some kids right here in Blessed Hope Baptist Church don't get that? Somebody comes up and criticizes your parents and criticizes what they're trying to teach you, and you just sit there like some Judas Iscariot and join in with that kind of nonsense. Why don't you just pop them one? Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Let me ask you something. Are you more loyal to some backslidden friend than you are your own parents, your own flesh and blood? My son, give me thine heart. My son, give me thine heart. When the opinion of your peers becomes more important to you than the opinion of your parents, you are in big trouble. You are in so much danger, words can't explain it. What happened to a loyal heart? Hey, girls, what happened to a loyal heart? See, some opinion of some carnal girlfriend mean more to you than a godly mother? Are you listening to me? Does some diva or rock and roll star mean more to you than your own mother, your own godly mother, and what she's trying to teach you? Shame on you if it does. Shame on you. Listen to this, preacher. I said, shame on you. Shame on you. A loyal heart. A loyal heart. Chapter 30. Let's go there. Proverbs chapter 30. We live in a strange generation, folks. I think this generation has described us in Proverbs chapter number 30, verse number 11. Proverbs 30, verse number 11. Isn't this odd? There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. I want to redefine what purity is. Let me tell you something. The Bible's already defined purity. And this world's trying to redefine it. They're filthy, but they want to say that they're pure, that what they're doing, there's no sin in it. Yes, there is. If God condemns it, then it's sin. Man, there's a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes and their eyelids are lifted up, so proud, so pompous. They know more than mom. They know more than dad. They know more than the preacher. What's wrong with them? By the way, that's not this entire generation. There's kids all over this auditorium that are sitting here that, you know what? They haven't fallen for this. They don't believe this. They love their preacher. They love their parents. They love the Word of God. They've already purposed in their heart that they're going to serve God and do right. By the way, you're going to have to swim upstream in this generation if you're going to be that kind of young person. And it's a lot easier to just turn around and go with the flow and go with the crowd. But let me tell you something. There's no happiness in that. There's no fulfillment in that. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Are you listening to me? You ought to love mama. You ought to love daddy. There's a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaws, teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. Boy, if there's never been a generation. You talk about the jaws and the teeth of this generation. They just cut like a sword. They cut like a knife. Young people almost say anything to anybody with no remorse, no guilt. Never feel bad about it. What's wrong? Could it even be that a young person, a child or a teenager, can already have their conscience so seared that they can break mama's heart over and over and over again and then laugh at her as she does, as they do it, and curse daddy and curse mom? What's wrong with us? Listen, young people, listen. Don't fall for that junk. Don't get involved in that stuff. You love mama. You love your daddy. You listen to your mama. You listen to your daddy. You reverence them and respect them. Brother Jerry, what does my daddy want? He wants a loyal heart. You know what that means? That means he wants your reverence. He wants your respect. Yeah, at the bottom of the, by the way, folks, the Bible's very clear about this. Us men, you think we're all that hard to figure out? We're really not that complicated. I mean, really, we're not. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Wives, we're really not. The last line in Ephesians chapter 5, it says, an instruction to the wife, see that you reverence your husband. Respect your husband. Reverence your husband. By the way, if you'll do that, more than likely the children will do that. You know, at the end of the day, a man just wants to be respected by the ones he loves. You know, it just seems unfair. It just seems unfair that a man would go out and work for 40, 50, 60, 70, sometimes 80 hours a week and work himself till he can't hardly lift a hand or move a finger and come home and try to do the best he can to spend time with his family, be with his family, and make that kind of sacrifice to feed them and clothe them, put a roof over their head and have some things, and then not be respected in that home? And not be respected in that home? I'm going to tell you something. That's a shame. That's a wicked shame. Maybe this is that generation, but you go look, jump on down to verse 17. It says that God won't put up for that kind of stuff. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, the young eagles shall eat it. You can go ahead and sit, think that you can live that life and be that way, and there's no judgment waiting at the end of the trail, but there is. God holds this sacred, young people. You be loyal in your heart to mama. You be loyal in your heart to daddy. You listen to them when they're trying to instruct you. Give them those listening ears. Give them a loyal heart. That's what they want. That's what daddy wants for Father's Day. Let me give you a last one. You know what else he wants? He wants a living heritage. He wants a living heritage. Proverbs chapter 22. Let's look at these verses. Then listen to me. We'll be done. Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 1. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Ecclesiastes 7:1 says, a good name is better than precious ointment. You know what, children? You are an heritage of the Lord. You know what your daddy really wants? A living, godly heritage. Living, godly heritage. One of the fun little exercises that I was doing up here during the song service was looking around our auditorium and picking out the families that are represented here by three generations and some by four. What a wonderful thing to have grandpa in church and his child, daddy, in church and the son in church or the daughter in church and sometimes even a little baby on top of that. What a blessing that is. You know what? Men who have that, what do you want for Father's Day? Got what I want. Dad, how about a tie? Fine, tie, I don't care. Just thank you, God. Thank you. How about this? Give me a gift. How about a gift certificate? Whatever. Fine. I don't care. Just keep living for God and just keep the kids in church and keep the grandkids in church and live for God and raise them to serve. That's what I want. That's what I want. A living heritage. That's what they want. You see? They want children that love them. They want children that will listen to them. They want children that will be loyal to them. They want children that will carry on the good and the godly things that they've tried to teach them. You know, I like kids that like to brag about their dad. You know, when I went to school, you know, it's crazy. In one generation, how much can change? When I went to school, we weren't on the bus running down our dads. We were actually on the bus lying about our dads. Remember the old, my dad's stronger than your dad, my dad's faster than your dad, well, my dad can do this, well, my dad can do that, well, my dad can do this. What happened to that? Now it's, you know what my dad said, you know what my dad wants me, you know what my dad, and just gripe about it. I like this little conversation I read about between two boys. They were trying to out-brag each other concerning their dad. And one of the little boys says, he said, my dad's strong and great and fast. And he's greater and stronger and faster than your dad. He said, no, that's not true. My dad is greater, stronger, and faster than your dad. The other boy looked at him and said, you ever heard of the Rocky Mountains? He said, yep. He said, my dad built them. The other boy said, you ever heard of the Dead Sea? My dad killed it. And why don't you stand up for Daddy? Why don't you stand up for Daddy, all right? I got to tell you this one. And I don't know if it has anything to do with the message, but I just think these are good. There was a preacher driving down the road, and he saw a hay wagon, and it got a wheel in the ditch, and the whole load of hay was... You ever done that? The whole load of hay was in a big pile beside the road. And there was a teenage boy, and he's out there, and he's lifting this hay, and he's trying to get it on the cart, and he's lifting it. Hot, just sweltering hot, and this boy's just going at it. He just looks like he's going to pass out. So the preacher says, hey, son, come over here. I got some water in the truck, and you need to sit down and take a break. He said, no, my dad wouldn't like that. He just came, hey, son, come here. Listen, get a drink and sit down. You're going to kill her with a heart attack. My dad wouldn't like that. He said, son, your dad must be a slave driver. Where is he so I can have a word with him? He said, he's under the hay. Yeah. That's called loyalty to your dad. Some of you boys would have went over and sit down and got a drink. Dig him out. Don't bury him. Dig him out. It's been a good week for jokes. I've heard a bunch of them. You know, your dad loves you. There was this guy that was waiting nervously in the waiting room when they used to do that. And doctor came out and said, I've got great news for you. He said, what? He said, your son, you got a boy. Oh, good. And he said, I've also got some really bad news. So what is it? He said, well, your son wasn't born without any arms, legs, or torso. He's just a head. He's just a head? Yes, he's just a head. So they took him home and raised him as best they could and loved him. But he was watching Benny Hinn one day, and he said, I'm going to take my son to Benny Hinn. I'm going to get him healed. So he took him to a Benny Hinn, and he brought his head and set it up on the platform. Benny Hinn smacked him on the forehead. That's all he had. Smacked him on the forehead. Torso popped out. Everybody started clapping. Slapped him again, two arms. Boom. Slapped him again, two legs popped out. Boom. Kid got so excited he had this body, he jumped up and ran out in the street and got run over by a truck. My dad looked over at Benny Hinn and went like that. Benny Hinn said, he should have stopped when he was ahead. Listening ears, a loyal heart, a living heritage, a living heritage. Young people, we'll be done. I'll promise. The pain is over. I'm finishing up here. So, your parents, got something handed to them by their parents. By the way, can I share this with you? There's folks all over this room that wish that they had a four-generation godly heritage. But you know what? They got handed what they got handed. They learned what they could from mom and dad. But you know what? They got born again. And they said, you know what? I'm going to start a godly heritage. And young people, if your parents have taken your good name and they've received it from their parents, and they've taken good custodial care of that name, and they've kept it a name that can be respected, and they kept it a name that represented Christ, and then they turn around and they hand it to you, woe, woe, woe unto you if you take that name and soil it. Woe unto you. There's children in this room, they may be grown children, that ought to get on the phone and call mom and dad. Because you know what? At some time you did something to soil that family name. And you know what? You've never made it right. You've made excuses, but you've never made it right. And you ought to pick up the phone and say, mom and dad, I've got something that I did 20 years ago, and I am sorry for it. And I damaged the good name that you gave me, and I'm sorry for it. There's young people, and some older people that may need to make a phone call like that. And we all mess up, don't we? But you know what? If you were graced by God to have Christian parents and they handed you a name, and it's a good name, by the grace of God, it's a good name, then don't mess it up! Because now it's your turn to take the custodial care of that name. And one of these days, you say, oh, it don't matter. Let me tell you when it's going to matter. One of these days, God's going to bless you with children. And you know what? They're going to say, what do you want on the birth certificate? When you write that first name, whatever it is that you have chosen, and you put that last name, it's going to matter at that second right there whether or not you kept that name clean and pure and decent. You see? That's what your daddy wants for Father's Day. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Let me ask you this. Are you born again? Have you been saved? The greatest gift that any person can give to their family is to be saved. The greatest gift a father can give to his children is to be saved. The greatest gift that a mama can give to her family is to be saved. The greatest gift that a child can give to mom and dad is to go home and say, Mama, guess what happened in Sunday school today? I accepted Jesus as my Savior. If you've never received Christ, we have men at the front and during the invitation. If you'll just simply slip to the nearest aisle, walk up here to the front, and just take one of these men by the hand and say, I need to be saved. They'll get someone to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. How about it, children? I don't care if you're a 6-year-old child or a 46-year-old child. How about it? How about it? What'd you get Daddy this year for Father's Day? Let me ask you this. Are you giving him the most important things, the things that he really wants? Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless this invitation time. In Jesus' name, amen.